All right, we are back. Episode 8 of the Reporter's Corner. I am one half your co-host, Jared Urbato, with the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the second half, the co-host, Trent Singer, with Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing great. Just wrapped up an awesome interview with Jake Seibel and Aaron Trotter at St. Thomas. So that was just a great one.
Yeah, really fun. It's the first time we've had two goalies on. First time we've had any current goalies on. First time we had any St. Thomas people on. So, popping a lot of cherries here, and it was a fun one. It was a really, really good interview with two great kids who took some really unique routes to college hockey, and so a lot of stops along the way, a lot of video editing along the way. But Trent, why don't you get into a little bit about what we talked about with Jake and Aaron?
Yeah, we broke down, kind of a little bit backstory of how they got to St. Thomas. Obviously this is a pretty young program still at St. Thomas. They're in their fourth year as a Division I program, and so we talked with Aaron, and he grew up in British Columbia, and eventually made his way to St. Thomas as a freshman, and is now a junior there. Played in the BCHL with Prince George. Played at Shawnigan before he got to the junior level, and then we also got the chance to go over Jake's career. A pretty long junior career that was in the Knoll, with Minot, Brookings, and the Minnesota Wilderness, and then had a great stint with the Aberdeen Wings after he spent a year with the Sioux City Musketeers, and spent 2 years in Niagara, and then transferred to St. Thomas before the start of last season. And if you guys followed the league and know about this goalie tandem they have at St. Thomas, they've been a 1-2 punch, and they've been really two of the best goalies in the conference. For all intents and purposes, it's kind of worked out in a lot of ways for Coach Blasey and what he's trying to build there. These two guys are both stellar goalies, and night in, night out. Last season, I believe it was a Friday Saturday duo, with Trotter taking Fridays and Seibel taking Saturdays, and I think they've kind of switched it up this year and gone the other way. It's really worked out for them because obviously they're one of the top teams in this conference going into the season. And they're great kids, and we really got the chance to learn a little bit more about them, their journey to St. Thomas, their time at St. Thomas, and ultimately, kind of just who they are as people in a lot of ways. So I think you guys will really enjoy this one.
Yeah. So we'll kick it to our interview with Aaron Trotter and Jake. All right. Another episode here and another interview, and we got a good one. It's the first time, a couple of first timers here for us. So it's the first time we've ever had a current goalie on. We actually got two of them on. We got Jake Seibel and Aaron Trotter from St. Thomas, and they're our first guests from St. Thomas this year. So, boys, tell us how you're doing. How's the season been going? And we'll hop right into it.
It's going good. I mean, season goes up and down. Pretty solid win and an off last weekend, so. Hope to carry that in, but yeah, pretty good so far.
Yeah, I'm doing good too. Sibes kind of depicted it perfectly, ups and downs, but kind of just resilience is definitely showing in Tommy hockey.
Yeah, and we'll start with this past weekend, right? It's a big 4-point weekend for you guys against BG, and how important was it just putting 4 points in the win column as you guys really start to get in the thick of it in CCHA play?
You go ahead, Trent.
Yeah, sure. It's any point in this league matters a lot, especially with like you kind of getting the first year jitters out for certain guys or like the new guys coming to the team. So it's nice to see kind of everything formulating to like we want our identity to be and our standards.
Yeah, and for you, Jake, too. I mean, it's I don't want to put words in your mouth, but maybe it's been a little bit of an up and down year for you guys so far. What's the vibe like in the locker room right now as you guys, kind of head towards another really important series with Bemidji State this weekend?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement. We know that we haven't played our best yet, and there's a lot of room for improvement. But at the same time, we were able to get points out of, I think, all weekend so far. So just having that mindset that we can keep getting better is really important, and that's what we have right now in our room. So there's some excitement there.
Yeah, you know, one thing we like to do on this show, obviously, guys, is just kind of go through the careers a little bit and get to know you and really introduce our audience in a lot of ways to who you are. And we'll start with you, Aaron, and just you know, we were just kind of talking about it a little bit earlier before we started. I mean, you grew up in Victoria, BC, played for Shawnigan, and then you went and played the BCHL for with the Prince George Spruce Kings. Mm-hmm. What were those experiences like for you, and how did they prepare you just kind of for the collegiate level and really, really kind of get your feet wet as you really get into competitive hockey?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think for me, going to Shawnigan, so it's a little boarding school on the island, that really taught me resilience because I was playing on their like tier two team. I don't know how you guys like kind of classify them over here, but
I was kind of curious about that. I saw that, like,
yeah, you saw the numbers. You saw,
yeah,
so that was that really taught me like kind of to work, and I'm really grateful for like the opportunity I got to play on the prep team the next year. And then, yeah, juniors was kind of a blur. I always wanted to go play juniors, and I didn't have any offers, so I made a little care package on YouTube and sent it to I think every BCHL team, and I got two responses, one from Merritt and one from Spruce Kings, and Alex Evan, who I still talk to pretty regularly, he reached out and he kind of gave me the 1-2 and was like, yeah, we want to commit you, but you got to make it out of camp. So had a big summer then, and just always dreamed about playing in the BCHL. We used to billet Victoria Grizzlies, and then yeah, one thing led to another. I'm like, I want to go play school now, and then just kept kind of evolving and trying to become the best player I could be and best teammate as well.
Now, when you say you made a care package, what are you talking about? Like,
oh, I had a little introduction. Hey guys, Aaron Trotter here, goalie, and I had like practice clips and everything. It was like a 5-minute highlight video that made it look like it was filmed on a toaster oven. So I was doing everything I could to keep playing, and you know, that just kind of shows, like, it kind of illustrates my path to where I am now perfectly.
Did you have to like teach yourself how to stitch these clips together and everything?
Oh, it was a nightmare. My family and I were like, oh, this is awesome. And I look back like 8 years later, I'm like, this is horrible. this is brutal. I'm in iMovie. I'm like, what am I doing?
And you know, to go to you, Jake, you took a little bit of a scenic route to college hockey. You bounced around a ton. So let's start in high school, because you played at Cambridge Isani a little bit, went to Providence Academy, played a little AAA in Omaha. Like, talk about how you bounced around in your path to getting to the NAHL.
Yeah, it was all about just like trying to find the right spot that would give me exposure, because like in Minnesota high school hockey, yeah, you get, it's like the greatest high school experience ever, but you kind of also have to be on the right team and be playing against the right teams. It's not even about if your team is any good, but like if you're not playing the teams in the cities or the good teams up north, you're probably not going to get a very good look, maybe one game out of the year. So trying to go to a spot that would give me more of a look that I could get regular people in the crowd, you know. So that's kind of why I went to Omaha for that AAA team, and we had a really good year. I didn't even know that we were going to be that good. I was kind of just signing up to play somewhere else, and all of a sudden we had a really good team. So I didn't even know how Wilkie put that together, but he figured out a way, and I was happy to be a part of it. And then afterwards, I just had like, I knew I wanted to play in the NAHL the next year. Didn't really want to play anywhere else. So I was kind of in the same boat after I got cut from Minot. I made their pre-draft camp and then their main camp and everything like that. And then I got cut after training camp. So I was kind of in the same boat where I was trying to send videos out and trying to get the word out, doing some e-bug in the USHL, e-bug in the NAHL, and then all of a sudden I got a call from the Wilderness, and it kind of took off from there. So, kind of a crazy route, just trying to get somewhere that I can get seen. So, yeah.
But before we get into the junior stuff, I want to like try and map out your high school career, because you're an Isani kid, right? And,
yeah.
You played. When was your first year of playing high school hockey in Isani? Because your EP page is like a CVS receipt list long.
Yeah. yeah. Keep the receipt. So 7th and 8th grade, I played varsity there. They had some senior goalies that are It was like kind of the age where you're kind of that old school stand-up style, the kind of hybrid. And I was one of the like newer top style goalies in Cambridge. So they brought me up. I didn't want to play Banos because they were partnering with Mora and I didn't want to drive up and down 40 minutes every day. Brilliant. But so I started there seventh and eighth grade, and then ninth grade I went to Providence. Just again trying to find a good spot that would give me some more seat fans in the seats and scouts. And then didn't really work out there. It was a tough school. I mean, I couldn't, I don't even think I could still go there at this point, but, so I went back, had to play JV, my sophomore year, which actually looking back was probably good for my confidence because I'm looking back at the film right now and I'm like, holy cow, that was a good year. Just fun playing with the guys my age again. So, and then, yeah, left for Omaha. So that's four different high schools in for 4 years. Yeah.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about the junior crew. I mean, your first year in the NAHL, you played for three teams, Minot, Brookings, and Minnesota with the Wilderness. And then you played 19 games in Sioux City in the USHL before spending two more seasons in the NAHL for Aberdeen here in South Dakota. I mean, what made Aberdeen stick after a chaotic 2 years in juniors with a lot of moving around?
I think it was the coaching. The coaching, they seemed to really rely on their goalies, but they also put a lot of trust in them. Like, I was sharing the net with Welsh, and obviously he's a really good goalie playing in the Hockey East now. And, but it was never like, this is your fault. So we're going to cut you or we're going to trade you because you're not doing good enough. It was kind of a development process that the coach Langer and also coach, Josh, who I don't even think is at the team anymore, but he's a really good goalie coach. Kind of the approach that they take really helped me stick there and develop further for sure.
Aaron, we'll get back to you in a second because he said the E-Bug thing, and now I'm curious about how you become an E-Bug for a USHL team.
Yeah.
No worries. I haven't heard any of this story, so I'm
interested. Yeah, I don't even know how. I just got a call from Sioux Falls, and their, I don't even remember his name, but their Russian goalie was going to play in the World Juniors. So I got to back up Stauber. And the first, I actually did it two times. The first time I was just an E-Bug, so Stauber had to get hurt, and he, there was like a, it was a bad game. I think we lost like 7-0 and some of the fans were pointing at me, trying to get me to go in there. I'm like, I can't do nothing. He's got to get hurt. And then the second time they actually brought me in and put me on the roster so that I could play if they needed me to. But then I think Stauber got a shutout. So it wasn't getting in that game.
All right. We'll go back to you, Aaron. Cause your career, your path to St. Thomas was obviously a little less hectic, right?
Yeah.
A little less stops on the way, but you joined the program 3 years ago, and you played 34 games as a freshman, I believe. And it was just in that second season of St. Thomas being D1. What were the early days like of playing for St. Thomas as they were still trying to find their like D1 identity?
A lot of skating, but no, it was a lot of fun, right? Like you're living out a dream to play college hockey, and I had such a blessing of an opportunity to play that many games as a freshman. Like that's not really seen very often. So yeah, it was great group of guys. I can't speak like highly of, cause we had a bunch of guys come from all over the place. Right. And they're all great mentors. They kind of taught me the ways of like, different programs that they were at and kind of like helped us shape our culture that we want now. So yeah, that's kind of how the first year was.
You know, Jake, you obviously spent your first 2 years playing at Niagara. And we had a teammate of yours, Carter Rankliff, on the show earlier this year, and he had a ton of formidable experiences playing at Niagara. I mean, how did those first 2 years prepare you for what eventually came at St. Thomas?
Yeah, I think the first year was definitely just an eye-opening year. Like, this is college hockey now, and you got to be faster, you got to be stronger, you got to get better. And then the second year, I didn't play as much, so it was a lot of just, what can I do in practice to get better and the habits that I can try to develop through the whole season of just practicing and then carry that into the summer and how it's all a day-to-day process. And I think that's what I really took away from the second year is just the day-to-day process and getting better every day. Cause, if you don't do that, I'm probably still at Niagara or sitting somewhere else. So for sure.
So you go in the transfer portal. I mean, you know, how important was it for you to just come closer to home? I mean, clearly that was a big draw.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really lucky that University of St. Thomas had a spot for me, and I mean, it worked out perfectly being only 40 minutes away from my house. So it was really a no-brainer to be able to come back here. Obviously, miss everything about being out in New York, but being back home is just really special, and to be able to play in front of my family again is just a blessing.
Obviously, you transferred in last season, and you guys became a true goalie tandem kind of overnight. You know, was that always part of the plan kind of going into last season, or was that something that kind of Rico had to figure out over time how to balance you two?
Yeah, I think it was definitely just Rico's kind of balance. He had two goalies that were just competitors. Like, Sibes and I love each other, but like, he makes a big save in practice. I'm like, oh, I gotta somehow one up that. I don't know how. I gotta somehow do it. But yeah, it honestly worked out for the best. Like, at the end of the day, our team success matters most, and whoever's buzzing is gonna be buzzing. And like, I know he's got my back, and he knows I've got his. So yeah, it's honestly the best situation possible to have Sibes as my goalie partner.
And to follow up on that even just a little bit, I mean, you talk about that, the competitive balance of just practice and being a true goalie tandem. I mean, Jake, you know, for you, does it ever get challenging knowing that, you know, like, each of you will get half of the games?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just, I'm always in the mindset of a teammate first. Whatever games I get in, I'm going to do my best. And obviously, I'm just going to want what's best for the team. So whoever's in net doesn't really matter to me. I just want us to win.
Yeah. For you, Aaron, I mean, you guys got a third kid in the goalie room too, and I know he gets overlooked a lot. You know, how have you two and Max Prasma, you know, helped push each other the last two seasons?
Yeah, I think I was just going to bring up Pras because, like, kid's a heck of a goalie too. Like, he's a big frame. He works his butt off. And it just kind of goes hand in hand. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. Like, if I'm battling with Pras or, like, Sibes and Pras are battling, it's just, we're all competitive, but we're like a three-headed monster. We like to look at it, you know, like, we're all brothers at the end of the day, but on the ice, it's kind of like a screw you, I want to win this mini game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Jake, I want to ask you too, you played in the Beauty League, and that's, you had a little bit of a unique path to the Beauty League, but you played with Team Tria. Talk to me about how you got involved in playing in that, and you know, the unique path you took to finding some ice time there in the summer.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I get plenty of ice time, and I mean, that summer I think I was skating like 5 times a week, but I was just seeing the YouTube videos from Kaskasuo, and I was like, man, I could play in that. Like, I wanna go out and play in Edina. That would be sweet. So I just shot an email out. I was bored one Friday after they played their Wednesday game, and I was like, I might as well just put my email in there, and then they'll have it in case they need it. But yeah, it worked out well, and I really love playing there. So I'm hoping that they ask me back every summer, but we'll see where that goes.
And you know, I got it's a 3-on-3 league too, with some of the more talented players in the world, right? Like, you know, yeah. What can you learn about playing in that style of hockey where it's designed to just hang you out to dry every single shift?
Yeah, that style, it actually is really helpful because you have to respect everything that they can do. And that's, like, I think the first game of the Beauty League season is always the hardest because you kind of forget that they can do pretty much anything they want with the puck. So it's just hitting your spots every time that you have to, otherwise you're going to get scored on, and there's no other way around it. It just makes you better at hitting your spots. So.
Is there a save that sticks out where you look back and it was like, man, that, like, I got this guy. Like, that one was...
I know, and the one on his Instagram.
Yeah, the one on my Instagram is like the clincher for the cup, the John Scott Cup or whatever. That's probably the biggest one I can think of. I know there's some glove saves in that first year that I had that were pretty nice too, but they weren't caught on camera, so I can't really relive those.
If I could follow up on that a little bit, I covered a game last season, Aaron. I think you might remember it. Was out there, Minnesota State, St. Thomas. It was one of the most incredible goalie performances I've seen at the college level. Talk to me about when you're in the zone like that, Aaron. I mean, you had a scorpion kick save in that game, if you remember right. It was in Mankato. What's a mentality like when you're in a game like that? I think I remember you even saying it was almost like an out-of-body experience in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I don't know. Those games are a lot of fun, but it's almost, you don't really think of anything, you know. Like, I had a goalie coach growing up. He say thinkers or stinkers. That was kind of mantra. So like when I'm feeling like that, I'm kind of just in the flow state, not really worrying about anything else, just having fun, right? Like each day I get to wake up and go and do what I love. I get to escape the real world and play hockey. So I think that's kind of how I try and get in the mindset, is like, I'm just like, have fun. Like you get to live people's dreams. Like just go out there and show people what you're capable of.
Yeah. I'm curious to know too, Aaron, I'll ask you this. The 4-year seniors here at St. Thomas are part of what Rico calls the believer class. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, how important is that group of players and just kind of establishing the identity and where this program is headed?
Yeah, it's perfect. They're such, like my roommate Ethan Gower, he's been here for 4 years. He lives the day-to-day life each and every day with so much like respect and honor for the program. He's just a class act person. And those guys have really characterize what it is to be a Tommy. You know, like, we don't play at the best rink. We like,
you will.
We don't know what our boards are doing on a day-to-day basis, but we go to the rink with happy to see all 29 brothers, you know. Yep. That's kind of what it is. And each day we want to go there, get better, and do what's best for the team, for the common good, and what's gonna make us champions.
If I could follow up on that too, I mean, how exciting is that? Like, you guys are, you know, you're probably not going to really be here truly when this, you know, this new arena kicks in. I mean, I guess you will next year, right, Aaron? I mean, you'll be a part of it. You know, just the excitement around the program as this arena is finishing up. I mean, what can you sort of speak to that, Aaron, is just in terms of how exciting it is to kind of see that sort of come to life?
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, Sives and I both live on the street. We look out our, like, I will take a step outside the door. I'm like, oh, there's a new rink there. That's so great. It's so cool. And it's such a huge thing for this program, especially with going to a new conference. Well, like, that's going to be awesome for recruiting. We're in such, the school itself is incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, the professors, the classes, you're not in a huge class. So it's honestly, it's such a great institution, great spot, and the coaches care so much. All the athletic and like academic people are like, have your back. So I can't say enough good things about it. And like, even as the program now, they have this rink. It's like, what's stopping you from coming to St. Thomas, you know, like for the younger classes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned the NCHC stuff too. I'm curious to know. I talked to Rico, I think the next day after it happened, he's kind of talking about how it was, as he's telling you guys are learning it. It's coming. The news is coming across everybody's phones. I think Schlossman might have broke it before. What was that like? I mean, just to, you know, what was the reaction, I guess, within the locker room once you guys found out that you were going to be, you know, going on to play in the NCHC? It's an exciting opportunity, I know.
Yeah, I think the guys were pretty excited for, like, me. I don't think I'm going to see it, but I think just kind of seeing the foreshadowing of where this program is going to go is really exciting. And it's just a blessing to even put on the jersey and wear St. Thomas apparel to say that you've been a part of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think all the guys can attest to that. I'm sure Sives can too, but it's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, for each of you guys, right? Like, when both of you guys committed to St. Thomas, you're committing to play for a school that can't play in the NCAA tournament, right? And that's, you know, even if you're going to Long Island, right? Like, you still have a shot to make the dance, right? So, for you guys, without the appeal of, you know, getting a chance to play on college hockey's biggest stage, what drew you guys to play for St. Thomas? Let's start with you, Jake.
I think it's just playing for such like a historic institution here is just like, I always grew up as a Minnesota kid, you know, knowing about the Tommies and knowing how they were in D3, and then they'd make the jump to D1, and you're like, oh, wow, that'll be exciting for them. And it's just all about building for me, and I just knew that I could be a part of building something great here in Minnesota, and I love this state. So That's what drew me in, was just the opportunity to build for the program and build for the state.
What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I have a totally different way because I had no clue what St. Thomas was. But but yeah, it's kind of funny because I didn't have like any offers, and Leon called me up one day, Coach Leon, and we talked for 2.5 hours. He told me about like all these things that like St. Thomas stood by and what they wanted to achieve as a new program. I'm like, yeah. He called me back the next day. I committed. I'm like, I don't know anything. I was like, that night I was just researching what the school even looked like. I'm like, where is this? Where is even Minnesota in the States? So it was just really surreal. And I'm just extremely blessed for the opportunity and to be a Tommy and to live each and every day as one.
Yeah, I want to follow up on something Jake said. We're being a Minnesota kid, right? You grow up, you got college hockey all around you. You look left, right, wherever, it's there. Did you grow up a college hockey fan, and which team did you root for?
Yeah, I was, my two cousins, Mikey and Joey Anderson, went to UMD. And ever since they committed there, I was always wanted to go there as well. I wanted to go be a Bulldog. So it was actually really nice to beat them last year. But anyway, so... So growing up, I always knew I wanted to play college hockey, and just great opportunity here to do it in my home state. So,
and two, you know, I want to ask you each both about Rico Blasi, because I mean, he's a hell of a coach, right? And so, what were your first impressions of him, and what's going to be kind of your lasting impressions of him?
He's a winner. He wants to win. Doesn't matter what, and I think that really attest to his career and how long he's been doing it and the kind of the resume he's put forth of himself. So yeah, I got nothing but good things to say about Coach Blasi. He's really helped shape me into the college athlete that I've become and going to keep continuing to grow. So yeah, I'm just thankful for him.
Yeah. I didn't really have an impression going in. I had no idea anything about the University of St. Thomas, but, taken away from it, I just love how much he cares. Like Aaron said earlier, it's kind of I want to be a coach when I'm done playing, and I just kind of hope that I can care as much as him and just love the boys and love the process as much as he does. So it's definitely a good role model for that and for the rest of the team to just see what it takes to be a part of a college hockey program.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, we do this with every player coach that comes on the show, but we call them one hitters. And so they're usually just, so some standard questions we ask everybody, but we get some pretty good stuff, pretty good answers out of them. So we'll ask each of you first, where's the toughest place to play in the CCHA?
I don't know about toughest, but like, well, I guess toughest, but the best atmosphere, I think. Mankato and Tech.
Yeah.
Like, I got them at the one seed, and then Bowling Green's student section's pretty rock star too, because you can hear everything they say in that barn. Just bouncing off the metal walls. I'm like, oh, wow, didn't know that was allowed to be said, but.
Yeah. I suppose, Jake, you probably haven't been to every place yet, have you?
I haven't been to Lake State. I think I might have been to everywhere else, though.
Now, Lake State is tough now. It's just up there. You know, there's not much around it, and it's a bit of a jaunt. So, like...
And it's dark. You know,
it's dark. Yeah.
It's a dark building
to play. It is a dark barn.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I only got half a game in Tech, unfortunately, so I don't want to give it to them. But they'll let me play a whole game before I give them that kind of award. But I'd say maybe Bowling Green. It was a pretty tough game there. They always have a good crowd, it seemed, during our weekend at least. So
yeah, we talked a little bit about it, I think, before we started recording. Aaron, you've done some golfing up in BC. But we will ask each of you, and we'll start with you, Aaron. Who's the best golfer on the team, and who's the biggest sandbagger?
Biggest sandbagger? Okay. I want to say I'm the best golfer, but not. Sandbagger? Okay. Jake Ratzlaff can drive the ball 400 yards.
Jeez.
Maybe, you know what? Not surprising.
You know, You know, maybe I'm actually gonna do this. I'm gonna switch to you guys. I'm gonna make like most complete Tommy golfer.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. We got Jake Ratzlaff drives. Okay. Cooper Gaze irons.
All right.
I'm gonna give it to myself with my chipping, and then Ethan Gower putting.
Okay.
I'd say that's pretty complete. I could put some out. Actually, no, I'll take myself out and go Ethan Elias just to keep the humbleness up, you know.
No, no. Any objections, Jake?
No, I have no idea. I know Aaron's good. I only golfed with him and Prasma at Topgolf before, but I'm not a big golfer myself. I know I can drive the ball, but that's pretty much it. But I was surprised I didn't hear Doc at all. Is that a shot at Doc or?
Yeah, it's a shot. He's Doc's the biggest sandbagger, and the worst golfer on our team is Max Prasma.
Oh man,
I played with him. We played UBC back home, just like one round, and he shot 141.
Ooh,
it was.
I'd have a chance.
Yeah, like this was. And then the next day he shot like, or the next time I played with him, he shot like a 95. But I was like, the spread's a little too much.
Yeah,
like, yeah, that's he doesn't golf too much. I don't.
I play about twice a year, and I'm better than Max Prasma.
Wow, these are fighting words.
Yeah. I know. We're gonna have to show him this because get some fuel for the fire. He'll be hitting up the simulator, and then he'll be buzzing here.
Who is for each of you guys too? And you can be from youth hockey. It could be in college hockey or the beauty league. Who is the best player you guys have ever played with, or most talented player?
You can go if you got someone, Charles. I still got to think for a second.
Probably just Summer Skates, Connor Bedard.
Oh God. Okay.
Yeah. There's nothing. I don't think I need to attest to this. It's just. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, like.
Walking by me. Okay. I didn't know there was a holder on my post. But
well, it's also like you're not going to hurt any of your current teammates' feelings by saying this. Like,
no.
It's a pretty fair one.
Yeah.
Jake,
yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't. Rem Pitlick, Rhett's older brother. Yeah. I've trained with him a lot in the summer. You get him in a game, he's not going to lose no matter who he plays against. So, like, during the summer skates, at least, like, he's just unreal. Like, kind of the same thing. You don't know where he's going to go, and every time he shoots, it's going in. So,
that's a good one.
This is a new one we added. I think we saw this week. The Vikings had a little bit of a social media thing going on, but it sometimes gets some good answers. And Jared and I were kind of playing the game earlier, trying to decide who our answer was. But we'll ask each of you. We'll start with you, Jake. Who's the most famous person in each of your cell phones?
I have Dwayne Rollison in my cell phone from my
ideas.
So,
yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I got Dwayne as well, but then I got Beds. So
I was gonna say you probably got Connor Bedard's number. Well,
two different generations, so you know you could roll with that.
That's fair. Maybe
I should have name dropped and said like J Lo or something. Just complete lie, but you know, just get it out there.
Right.
All right, and last one because goalies are weird, right? You hear this all the time.
Oh, no.
Who is the most superstitious one between the two of you?
That probably I'll give it to Trotz because every time he gets off the ice, he has his little thing he does, and I don't have something that every time I get off the ice. So like that's an everyday thing for him. So
what do you do?
I say a little prayer, just like say what I'm thankful for, and then I also have like a frog and a dinosaur in my stall, and I have to have a shot of maple syrup before I go on the ice.
Oh my god! Yes, it's easily you.
It's definitely me. So there's a few, and there's probably a few more hidden ones. But
I love the shot of maple syrup. Where did you pick this up, or like how did this come about?
I picked it up in juniors because one of the guys, like one of the imports we had, he started doing like honey. And I'm like, would maple syrup be the same thing?
Oh yeah.
And I'm like Canadian. I'm running with this when I'm going to school. So I started doing that.
Do you have a bottle of syrup just in your stall? Like,
oh, yeah.
Pour it out in the glass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No glass. I go right from the bottle. No glass.
Oh, my God.
That's the finest Canadian maple syrup you can find.
It's just from Whole Foods here. It's got a maple leaf on it, so it suffices.
Right.
Yeah, that's a weird one. I don't know if that's going to be top this year, Trent.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a pretty good one.
I don't know. I feel, you guys definitely got to have some good ones.
Well, you're the first goalies we've had, and it tends to be the goalies who have the super, you know, that they've got the routines, they've got the superstitions, and so that's definitely when we had to ask you guys.
Yeah, but thank you guys so much. That's all we got. That's all the questions we got. So we really appreciate you guys hopping on the show. This was a lot of fun, and best of luck this weekend on your road trip to Bemidji.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Jared, we'll see you. It's been a blast. Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right, once again, thank you to Jake Seibel and Aaron Trotter for joining the show. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at TrendSinger, at Jared Urbato BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com.